I think many people have heard Zack Snyder on Rogan's podcast talking about how he's a fanatic about Ayn Rand's novel, The Fountainhead. Let's take a clip of that right now.
Have you ever thought about doing like a Netflix series, like something that's so big that you couldn't do in one or two films?
Yeah. We've talked about it a lot. Like, I mean, nobody wants Fountainhead, but that's what I wanted to do. You know, I pitched him Fountainhead because, like, I've written this super adaptation of that book, and I just think it's, I think it would be amazing. But you know, no one wants to make it because they think it's like, you know, it's taboo. Ayn Rand is taboo.
Well, why is she taboo?
Why has The Fountainhead resonated so powerfully with Zack Snyder and millions of other readers, myself included? What is the book about? Why is Ayn Rand taboo? We'll get to all of that and more after the rest of Zack Snyder's comments. Let's hear more of that conversation with Rogan.
I don't know. She's taboo among the intelligentsia because like they think she's a fascist and they think the book's a fascist propaganda, piece of fascist propaganda. I that's not why I like the book. I'm like, look, you know, I happen to just like it because it's a direct comment on making a movie, right? It's a movie about an architect who won't make the buildings that everyone wants him to make and like what the struggle he goes through to get the buildings made the way he wants to make them. Of course I like that, you know, like no movie director. I'm sure there's plenty of movie directors that don't like Fountainhead, but I just think that it says so much. Ayn Rand wrote Fountainhead in direct response to being noted on a script that she had written. And she had been studying this movie about skyscrapers, and they told her, she kept submitting versions of the script and they kept noting her until it was unrecognizable. And then she was like, this is what happens to to work. Mm-hmm. You know, it gets noted till it disintegrates, until it disappears. Right. And so, yeah, so that's one thing I've always wanted to do, but I don't know that the world will allow that.
I don't know why. It's one of those weird things where Ayn Rand she's connected to like incels or, you know, like angry white guys or like finance people that are cruel.
Yeah.
It's this very strange.
Steve Jobs' favorite book, by the way.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That is interesting. But it's one of those things where it's like, if you hear that, like, I'm an Ayn Rand fan, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're one of those guys.
Yeah.
Are you into Bitcoin too, buddy?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know?
It's true.
Right?
But it's funny because, look, and I get, by the way, Atlas Shrugged, fair. You know, you can play with that. That's a game that I'm pretty exclusively a Fountainhead fanatic, and for that, also because it's melodrama too. Like it's the most melodramatic thing ever. I mean, as far as just like,
why won't Netflix let you do that?
I don't know. Like
they should.
I think it would have a huge. Well, again,
I bet it would
like
work.
I said, I know it would work.
Let me confess that I'm also a super fan of the Fountainhead, but I also like Ayn Rand's other books too. And there's a lot in this exchange between Rogan and Zack Snyder. I'm going to just limit myself to three things, and there'll be more to say about this, but let's start with the first thing. Why does The Fountainhead resonate with someone like Zack Snyder and millions of other readers? So The Fountainhead has been a global phenomenon for more than 80 years. It's been translated into more than 30 languages. It was a word of mouth bestseller when it came out. Now, what Snyder says that he likes about The Fountainhead, I think goes to something that's unique and incredibly valuable about the book. It goes to the theme, and this is the idea of integrity, the idea of being independent to one's and having integrity to one's vision. Now, Zack Snyder makes movies, and I can see he's in an artistic realm. He can see the resonance of being true to one's vision. As he puts it, there's a direct comment on making a movie in what he takes from The Fountainhead. Now, he mentions a bit about the story for people who haven't read The Fountainhead, and I hope people will go read The Fountainhead after this. Fountainhead is a story about an architect, as he mentioned, who is independent in a profound way. Howard Roark is the main character, and he's moved by a positive. He has definite ideals, and he works to live up to those ideals. And as a result of having that positive vision, he is steadfast. He refuses to compromise the integrity of his designs, and he faces incredible pressure, both from people around him, people he cares about, and people who hate him, and also the roadblocks on his path, as a, in his career path. But all the way through, he's unbending. Now, Snyder's right that all of this applies to filmmaking. I completely agree with that. I think Ayn Rand's point, however, is not limited to artists or even architects and filmmakers. I think what she regards here as this outlook on life is a universal ideal, something that all of us can embrace and all of us should embrace, I think. What explains Howard Roark's independence is his commitment to his own rational judgment. It isn't simply that he has a feeling and this is what I want to do. It's he's reached a conclusion using his own independent judgment. And that is why he has such a commitment to that ideal. In the terms of the story, he lives a first-handed life. He chooses his own values. He forms his own judgments, and he puts nothing above the judgment of his own mind. I think, speaking for myself, I think this is why I found Howard Roark to be so heroic. And I think this is part of what I'm hearing in some of what Zack Snyder is saying. And I think this is part of why millions of people have responded so powerfully to The Fountainhead. Okay, second point. What Zack Snyder gets wrong about The Fountainhead's origin story. Just a very brief comment here. So what Zack Snyder says about the genesis of The Fountainhead, I think is confused. It doesn't really line up with the facts as I understand them. And I've checked the facts and I have some history here. So he says that Rand wrote the book as a direct response to getting lots of notes that destroyed a project she was working on. Now, what's true is that Ayn Rand worked on a script about a skyscraper. This was something that was in the back of her mind when she turned to write The Fountainhead 8 years later. So there's some history there that's not completely wrong. But the actual origin story, I think, is way more interesting than the way Zack Snyder portrays it. So his account is not true to the facts, in my understanding. But the actual origin story goes to something really significant about life. Just a quick version of that. So Ayn Rand was fascinated by how people live their life, how they approach it. And she noticed something about the way she approaches it, the people she cared about approach life, versus other people she encountered. Now, she noticed that she picked her own values. She chose her goals. She defined her own standards and lived up to them. And that was true of a lot of people that she cared about and respected. But that was in contrast to some of the people she experienced all around her, particularly in Hollywood when she was working there. Those kinds of people, in her account, are conventional in a passive way. They go with conventions, not because the conventions are right, but because that's what people do. They're followers. They're second-handers, in her term that comes up from the book. They don't look at the world first-handedly. They don't use their own judgment as their primary orientation to life. And this is a deep issue in life. This is a philosophic issue that Ayn Rand was thinking about. And it was centrally connected to her artistic vision. She wanted, from a young age, to write stories about an ideal man, a new moral ideal, someone you could look up to, a hero. Now, I'm just going to speculate a bit here about why I think the origin story that Zack Snyder tells is confused. And it might have something to do with the way Ayn Rand approached adapting The Fountainhead to the screen, which is its own story. That making of stories, it's really dramatic. And partly because it mirrors the story of the book, because when Ayn Rand was adapting the book to the movie, she was adamant about not compromising the integrity of her vision. I have another podcast about that, interviewing an expert on Ayn Rand's thought that you might want to take a look at. But the bottom line is Snyder's account of the origin story, I think, is off, and importantly off. And in fact, it undersells the actual history and the genesis of what's so fascinating about the book. All right, third point in reaction to this clip from Snyder interviewed by Joe Rogan. Why is Ayn Rand taboo? Snyder's take on this, I think, is partly right, but there's a lot more to say here. So he says that the intelligentsia, so intellectuals and other thinkers, view her as taboo. There's something to that. And he thinks that this is a result of people viewing her as a, quote, fascist, or someone who's just peddling propaganda. Then notice what Rogan says, that he describes Ayn Rand as, quote, connected to all sorts of unsavory people. So he incels, finance people, and he means that in a negative sense, and people who are cruel and mean. Now, that's the vibe he's giving off about what he thinks of or his association with Rand. Now, there's a lot here and there's a lot wrong in how they're processing this, but it's also fascinating. So I'll say a couple of points. First, intellectuals versus Ayn Rand. True, intellectuals for decades have opposed Ayn Rand. I'd argue that a significant number of those intellectuals who see her as taboo and who go out of their way to keep people and discourage people from exploring Ayn Rand, what motivates many of those intellectuals, I think, is that they are conformists. They're unwilling to think independently. They're not first-handed. They're not willing to confront the arguments that Ayn Rand makes in her nonfiction writing on philosophy. Look, Ayn Rand is challenging millennia of conventional thinking in philosophy. And I think that unnerves intellectuals who are comfortable with the conventional ways of thinking. They're comfortable with the ideas that have been handed down to them, whether from religion or socialism or from other intellectual traditions. And they're not willing to question those things. They just want to fit in. And as a result, when Ayn Rand comes along and she's fearless and she's radical, part of the reaction is, we don't want to hear it. We don't want to question our deepest assumptions. Don't make us do it. And I think that's a part of the explanation. Now, just to give a flavor, I want to say something to people who are not that familiar with Ayn Rand. So part of what she's putting forward, and the reason I regard her as radical and fearless in this respect, is that what she stands for is really different from everything else you've ever heard. So she argues that the individual's highest moral purpose in life is the achievement of your own happiness. And you do that, in her view, not by exploiting other people, never. You do it by your own effort and by trade, not at anyone else's expense. Now, that is a radical view in morality. And she holds this as a consistent principle that people can live by. Another point that she's radical on, one of many. She holds an atheistic philosophy, a philosophy grounded in science and this world. And she regards reason, the power to think rationally, that each of us has. She regards that as the only source of knowledge and the only source of moral values. Now that goes up against religion, every religion basically. It goes up against Marxism and socialism. It goes up against basically every many intellectual positions that are just dominant in our culture and have been for a long time. Now, so when someone like Ayn Rand comes along, the intellectuals of our culture, instead of being curious about what she has to say, they dismiss her. And there's a long history of intellectuals who are unwilling, honestly, to confront her arguments. What they do instead is they smear her, they unjustly attack her. And the trope that she's a fascist, I think it's beneath contempt, and I've written about this, and the sort of attacks on Ayn Rand. Don't take my word for it, but you can go explore this after this podcast. But what I'll say is that this trope that she's a fascist, if I understand that what Snyder is referring to, ironically enough, this originated, in my understanding, in a conservative magazine, which is how many people classify Ayn Rand. So just, I think that's an example of how Ayn Rand stood apart from conventional thinking. So even conservatives who they're often associated with Ayn Rand, many conservatives objected to Ayn Rand and they denounced her and smeared her. I think that's true. There are many libertarians who denounce and smear Ayn Rand, who hate her. And there are many liberals who hate Ayn Rand and smear her. So she stands apart from all the standard pigeonholes that we have in our culture. Now, in reality, I think this is the important point. In reality, Ayn Rand is an uncompromising champion of individual freedom. And there's no one who criticizes communism and socialism and fascism in a way that is more devastating morally. And this is something else I've written about. You're welcome to take a look at that. So in reality, Ayn Rand is the farthest thing from what she's accused of being. And I think that's important and revealing about the way she's received in the culture. And I think the way in which she's viewed as taboo is itself a symptom of a culture that is uninterested and unwilling to question its own assumptions, which is part of what she's offering people in her thought. Okay, final point on this theme of why Ayn Rand is taboo, according to this discussion from Snyder and Rogan. I think this is one of the more interesting aspects, more sort of philosophically interesting aspects. because it goes to how Ayn Rand is received and misunderstood in the culture. Now, notice Rogan's reaction when Snyder says Steve Jobs was a fan. And notice as well that Snyder accepts the criticisms of Atlas Shrugged as somehow problematic. And I'm filling in some context here. My assumption is that he views it as problematic because it's more political. It's seen as aligned with views he's not supportive of. Now, there's something really significant in this exchange about why Rogan is surprised at Steve Jobs liking it and why there's a view of Atlas Shrugged as being not something that someone like Snyder could get behind or find valuable. Now, let's say something about the relationship of these two books. So Atlas Shrugged is Ayn Rand's other major novel, and it is significantly different from The Fountainhead. It's a panoramic book. It looks at many issues, including political issues, but it's a mistake to see it as primarily a political issue. And here's one reason for that. Everything that Ayn Rand dramatizes that resonates so well with people like Snyder about integrity and independence in The Fountainhead, all of that is brought out even more profoundly in Atlas Shrugged. Now, Snyder says he's exclusively a fanatic fan of The Fountainhead, and that's fine, I respect that. I've heard that kind of view before, and I just want to offer a speculation about why people have a differing reaction to the two books. And it goes to this issue of being in the arts versus being in other fields. Now, notice, and a way into this is to see Rogan's reaction to the fact that Steve Jobs really was a fan of Ayn Rand's novel. I think he was a fan of Atlas Shrugged, I believe. Now, why the surprise? Steve Jobs doesn't fit what Rogan takes as a stereotypical fan of Ayn Rand. You remember from the clip, you think of Ayn Rand fans, oh, it's that weird guy, it's the finance guy, cruel people, nasty people. So really negative valence to that whole perspective. But Steve Jobs isn't seen in any of those ways. He's admired, and I admire Steve Jobs profoundly. Now, he's admired not primarily as a business leader, though he was recognized as a significantly accomplished business leader. He's seen as more artistically inclined. That's reflected in his impact on Apple. That's reflected in his famous commencement address that he gave, I believe, at Stanford. What's going on here? I think there's something about the way people think of integrity and ideals. They are better able to see those in the realm of art, something spiritual, as it's often seen. In this case, in architecture, in the novel, and in Zack Snyder's experience in his filmmaking. So he can process and understand integrity and ideals in the realm of art. But what's harder for people to do is to believe that the same is true, that integrity and independence of thought, those are virtues, and that they are present in business, in industry, in finance, and that there could be heroism in every productive endeavor. That's really hard for people to get, and they're really hard for them to see that integrity and independence, what many people love about Howard Roark, what I love about Howard Roark, is also true, and in a profound way true, of the heroes of Atlas Shrugged. And partly because many of those heroes are not artists. Some of them are musicians and artists, but not all of them are. Now, part of what Ayn Rand dramatizes in Atlas Shrugged is that just as living firsthand, going exclusively by your own independent rational judgment is core to being an artists and having integrity, the same is necessary in every area of life, in business, the material realm, emphatically included. So what Atlas Shrugged presents is heroes, not only artists and musicians, but also scientists, engineers, inventors, business people, miners, people who work in heavy industry. Now, Ayn Rand sees them all as heroic, not only artists, but also people, not only people in the what's seen as the spiritual realm, but also people who are in the material realm. Now, this is a radical perspective, and it comes from one of the many original points in Ayn Rand's thought. What Ayn Rand is challenging is the conventional assumption about human life that there's a unbridgeable divide between spirit and matter, mind and body, ideals and practice. She rejects that. She says that is not true. it might be experienced like that by many people, but that's a result of certain choices they make. It is not true of a proper life, a life one can achieve. On the contrary, in her view, a proper life, living up to the ideals that she articulates, is one of unity in thought and action, ideals in practice, spirit and matter, mind and body. And I think this goes to some of what makes Ayn Rand both radical intellectually and philosophically, and part of why she's so misunderstood. This is a really challenging thought for people to think about and process and see how this is not like anything we've ever heard from in the history of philosophy, and we haven't heard this from religion. We don't hear this from supposedly secular thought. The idea that mind and body are separate and unbridgeable in this way, that is very difficult for people to comprehend. But this is a salient point in Atlas Shrugged, and it goes to the heart of what Ayn Rand's philosophy is about. It's about living a life guided by thought, rational thought, in action, and having integrity in life and thinking independently. And I think this is part of what is behind the reaction of Rogan and Snyder here, where they can imagine people like a financier resonating with Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged or other of her works, because she was a capitalist. She was an unapologetic defender of laissez-faire capitalism. So they can see that. But what they can't see, many people can't see, is that the same ideals that Ayn Rand holds in The Fountainhead, she holds in Atlas Shrugged in a profound way. And that is that there are certain ideals we can all live by, and that they're part of every kind of productive life. So I can see why there are many people who are in the artistic realm who resonate with The Fountainhead, and that's much more accessible to them because the lead character is in an artistic realm, and that is something they can plug into and it's more familiar. I think in that sense, Atlas is even more challenging of our assumptions, because it's saying that everything that's good about Howard Roark is true and good about the heroes in Atlas Shrugged, like Henry Reardon, who is a steel magnate, or Dagny Taggart, who runs a railroad, and some of the other heroes who are themselves artists and scientists and so forth. So there's a lot here to unpack. I think there's a lot of value to explore here, and we should do more commentary on this kind of issue of how Ayn Rand is understood in the culture. But bottom line, I think there is a lot to say about why Ayn Rand is seen as taboo, and it's more a reflection in many cases of the people who are trying to marginalize her, trying to smear her. And then I think there's also a contingent of people who see her as taboo because they're not comfortable grappling with what she's actually saying and the vision that she's offering. It's so radical and original. I think there's a lot of value in Ayn Rand's thought. This really profoundly impacted my life. But I don't want you to take that on my say-so. Let me close by saying that if you've never read The Fountainhead, and you want to know why Zack Snyder is a fanatic about The Fountainhead, why I'm a super fan of The Fountainhead, and I love the Atlas Shrugged too, if you want to know why, and why it changed my life, how I think, how I live, the path I've taken in my life, be independent, be first-handed, form your own judgment of Ayn Rand and her works. And the way to do that is to go read her, pick up a copy. You can do that wherever books are sold, Amazon, of course. If you're a student, we're offering a free copy of one of Ayn Rand's books, no strings attached. There will be a link in the description. And I hope you explore Ayn Rand's thought and her fiction. So what resonated with me so much is the idea of a hero like Howard Roark, and the idea that we can each live a first-handed life, an authentic life, one where we're defining our own path and our own values by reason, and not by blind convention or by faith. And there's something incredibly liberating about that. I hope you go and explore that. I'm Ilan Jerner from the Ayn Rand Institute. Thanks for watching.
You've been listening to New Ideal, a podcast from the Ayn Rand Institute. If you like what you hear, leave us a review, share with a friend, and subscribe to our other podcasts. This podcast was made possible by donors to the Ayn Rand Institute. Help support this podcast by becoming an ARI member. Go to AynRand.org/membership.